So I was today years old when I learned that there's a Christmas tree association. Yeah. Like an actual, like a committee that must meet and gather data or go over spreadsheets of Christmas trees, or they figure out, I don't know, I really don't know what, other than just figuring the price of the average price of a Christmas tree each year, which last year it was $78, I guess nationwide. And then the meeting's adjourned until 364 days later, I guess. Weird. I think that's one of my favorite Christmas carols. Whatever one that one's called. Something about Christmas bells or Carol of the Bells or one of those. Carol of the Bells, is that what it is? There's, of course, there's different versions. There's like the Ray Conniff version, you know, the old school 50s. Ring, ring, and ding, 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 and ding, 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 tell all the world Jesus is King, la, 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 la. And then there's like the Lexus commercial that, you know, you're driving through a dark road at night, a mountain road, a twisty, windy, dark, poorly lit road, you know, in the middle of winter, and it's like dun 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 dun, dun. The Trans-Siberian Orchestra version, like this menacing, ominous dun 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 dun. Anyway, I think I like those ones. I like those the best. Aside from, like, you know, the 78 versions of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And it's mind-numbing. But I think it was Hunter S. Thompson. I believe Hunter S. Thompson said, you know, men, we have to make beasts of ourselves to forget, to get rid of the pain of being a man. And that was never more so clear, I guess, when the holidays roll around. And I just become more obnoxious, and I become like, the way I look at it is that I have to lean into the situation because I typically don't want to be there. I'm not against holidays in particular. I just think the forced kind of contrivance of, you know, everybody gathering together. And it's, you wouldn't, you know, if you wouldn't do this normally, routinely, why do it at all? I guess is my point. Because we're all kind of put in these awkward, listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing normal about the holidays, right? There's absolutely nothing that says that you need to get together with people that you hardly ever see and pretend like you're interested in what's going on with their lives. But I think maybe it's kind of a test of sorts, maybe for your own personal sanctity and psychological verisimilitude, where you can kind of handle those situations, right? So, you know, without a yin, there is no yang. Without an up, there is no down. You know, without darkness, there is no light. And so you need to maybe just gotta be thrust into those situations. Although, I don't know. Do what you want. I don't know. What I enjoy, maybe I enjoy the build up a little more. Maybe I enjoy the anticipation maybe of it all. So, but I have to make, like I say, it's counterproductive to me to just cower and fade into the wallpaper and be like a wallflower. I don't know, because maybe I'm naturally curious or something, or just naturally obnoxious, and I just feel like I can pry and wedge my way into anybody's business, whether I know you or not. And so I'll talk to you. anybody, I don't care. But specifically speaking, we went down, well, we went to my ex-in-law's for Thanksgiving, which is so off the radar. But this was, you know, this was a couple months in the planning. I had even shown my, I showed her the text I got. I said, "Are you? Do you want to go?" And she didn't balk at it then. So we just kind of resigned ourselves to going. And again, I don't have any issue with any of my, matter of fact, for me, the more awkward, the better. Right? Like I was explaining to my mom the Saturday after Thanksgiving, a couple days ago, like, because my lady was like, you know, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to go there again. I'm not going to go to any functions anymore. I want to be with my family. And I'm like, well, they never invite you. So why would you go? You know, like, but if they did, I would go to that. But they don't. I mean, my lady's family is kind of wacky and they're fucked up. And because everybody's family is wacky and fucked up. I mean, they kind of, they're really good at it, though. But they don't really ever do, like, they never reach out and extend an invitation. So, but if they did and she went, I would go with her. And I would actually almost want it to be, as awkward as it could possibly get. And it could get awkward because it has gotten awkward and it's weird. And, but that's what I think what I live for is the awkwardness of the holidays. Because anybody can be cool. Anybody can be pleasant. It's when you really get sideways. When, you know, you got the racist uncle that's saying, it's spouting off about weird, you know, theories about who really runs the world. Or you've got the, you know, the alcoholic, the lush, the one that, you know, is trying to make like that they're not obscenely drunk and trying to pass it off. And I fixate on those are the ones, that's what I like. That's what I want to see. Or just people that haven't really settled grievances, you know, and then they cross paths and they get into each other's radar. And, I want the tension. I want the awkward, right? So Saturday I went up, you know, saw my pops and, I was just explaining to my mom about the whole, cause she went, you know, cause my kids are there and I'm not having my mom drive, my 70-year-old mom drive in the dark of holiday traffic. So I'll, you know, if she wants to go see the grandkids, I'm going to drive her down there. And, but then you got to take the rest of that. You got to take the rest of that package, which is seeing, you know, extended family, cousins, people you haven't seen in like 15 years. I mean, no joke. And, but it wasn't that hard. If you just become bigger than the situation, you can really kind of get in there and just, you know, elbow your way around and be bigger than the situation and take its power away from it. The power of the situation that would intimidate you and keep you anxious or reticent or anything like that. Like if you just make yourself bigger than the situation, then you can guide and steer this craft through all this stuff. And it's fun. And then you have fun with it and you roll with it, you know? But it is fun to be a bit of an instigator. Because it takes away from the pain of the situation, like the Hunter S. Thompson quote, right? So if you make a beast out of yourself, it allows you to alleviate the pain of being in that position. So if that makes any more sense to you. And So initially, so Wednesday, it all kind of kicked off Wednesday, and I had one stop, it was a scramble. Like, Wednesday was kind of, it was semi-chaotic, but it, again, that's where I do kind of thrive, and I enjoy just getting up and experiencing the chaos. So I had to go over to Fair Oaks and pick up at 3:30, and then I, right after that, had to get on the road because I had to go to Santa Cruz. I had to drive to Santa Cruz to pick up my youngest, and I was going to take my boy with me. His, her twin brother, and pick him up along the way. So my estimation was that there was going to be a lot of kind of traffic, and it kind of was, I guess. I don't know. There were some last minute kind of loose end stragglers and shoppers getting last minute things in the afternoon, and then because it was an irregular schedule, my regular pickups didn't exist. I just had one, but my other buddy Ruben, who drives and does, he kind of helps stock these donor centers and then pick up at some of them like I do. He had a big day ahead of him, and we were waiting kind of for our abbreviated schedule, like, because typically on a Wednesday, I've got about four stops that I got to make. But the Wednesday prior to Thanksgiving, all the donor centers closed at the same time in the afternoon, roughly 2 o'clock, 2:30. So you should have been out of there by 3 on paper, right? So I get there at 2:30. They're like, well, we've got three appointments at 2:45, and you know, and they're closed at like 3 o'clock. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, these motherfuckers. But it was cool. I mean, there was a festive vibe going on. There's a real festive buzz, you know, people were in good spirits, and we were yapping and, you know, making small talk and kind of getting into the swing, because you know, the anticipation of you know, the night before, because the night before Thanksgiving usually is like when you come back from college, or you come back, or you get out of high school, or you get out of, you know, you get out on your break, whether it's from work, school, what have you. And traditionally in the past, it's been like, that's, you get tore up with your friends. You go out with your friends, you get, you know, you go out and have a few drinks the night before. And so there's a little bit of a buzz going on, but I had to go down and pick up my college student like 3 hours away. So I'm waiting, and like these three, they're like whole blood appointments that I think only one showed. And then I got my shit and I loaded up and I burned rubber and I got out of there. And then dropped off and just got the hell out of Dodge. And it was brilliant because the only real congestion was kind of in town, just kind of getting out, shooting my way out of town and getting out on the freeway there. And then once I got on the southbound freeway, it was a little congested, and then it opened up, and then it was fine. And then I zipped down, and there was little commuter congestion traffic getting into, I had the boy meet me in Salida by the freeway, so I didn't have to go deep into Modesto. And, cause I was really running, it was a race against the clock. But so I pick him up, and, immediately he just starts laying out his future life plans about how he's going to lead a van life and get a Hiace Toyota van and retrofit it with Starlink satellites and, you know, a gray water system and all this stuff. And I'm like, bro, you make a lot of money and you were broke. So we kind of hatched up a plan to kind of put aside. Well, you take that moment to just be a parent and offer the advice that's needed and then let him do what he needs to do with it. But the dude takes home $2,500 a month. And He's got nothing to show for it. And he's got no bills. So he's a typical 18-year-old. He buys gas, if that. I mean, he literally works, I think, a mile from his house. So there couldn't be that much gas going in there, right? But, he's dead broke. And, but I said, if you just set aside one check, or just $500 out of each check. So if you're getting a $1,300 check every 2 weeks, put $500 aside. You still got $800 in each check to go do what you want with. You know, and he's talking about he's going to Disneyland this month. His mom's pissed at him because he doesn't have any he just doesn't have any money. And oh, and then I think because he's taking off like right before his birthday or something, or during his birthday. I don't know. This guy, he lives the life. Like he lives the life. But he was my ride along, my ride or die down to Santa Cruz, and then we swooped up his twin sister, and then they just yapped back and forth about Hunger Games all on the way back, and it was cool. We stopped off and we stopped off in Fremont, where the Tesla factory is, and we got some. I bought them. They wanted some fast food because there's fast food's illegal in Santa Cruz. And, you know, a lot of hippies there and stuff, mind you, but I get it. But it was weird because we walked in my son had to use the restroom. And so we walked in, we didn't go through the drive through. We walked in and there's nobody in there. Like, it's such an odd going into like fast food places anymore is odd because I don't think people, they don't do things normally anymore. They don't walk in, they just, everything's on the fly. Everything's ordered by, you know, the push of a button on your phone. Nobody walks into fast food. And so I think the people at the counter were kind of disoriented. They're like, what are you doing here? So literally, like, and then my twins are like standing, like they don't even know what they want. So like, there's like a disengagement between them and the people behind the girl behind the register. So she wanders off in the back to help the drive-through people, and then we don't see her for like days. So it's like, I don't know. I'm like, what's going on? What's happening right now? You know, it was kind of dystopic in a way. But we made it back. I figured my buddy Ruben, he called me like a dozen times that day, just on Wednesday, like, oh, this is the worst. You know, I got to go to Grass Valley. I got to go here. Why did they take so long to do this? Put this crap schedule together. I could have been blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bro, like I'm just being a sounding board. And then I got my buddy Mike calling me. I got people it was just chaotic. And, my buddy Ruben seemed to think I wouldn't get back to, I didn't think I'd get back to like 1 a.m., but the thing just opened up. The lane just opened up in front of me, and it was beautiful because there was a lot of traffic coming out of the Bay Area, coming into the valley as we were going into the Bay Area. All the commuter traffic was coming out of it. It would look bad, but by the time, you know, we got into Santa Cruz about 7:45, and then she was just sitting at the bus stop with her bags. So we loaded her up in burn rubber. And as we got closer to the valley and into Livermore and up over the Altamont, there was no traffic. It was beautiful. I got home by at 11. It was great. And the next day was go time. I got up, I did a workout, I sweated the crazy out, I got a lot of my anxiousness, any potential, like, you know, uptightedness, any kind of, like, clenched feelings of anxiety or stress just melted away, and So you could just, because you go, you know, you're going down there and you're going to be talking to your brother-in-law, your sister, your nephew, your nieces. They don't. And everyone's got kind of like a weird opinion of everybody else. And so you just, you kind of like I think my brother-in-law thinks I'm some kind of conservative weirdo, which is the furthest from the truth. But I like to cultivate that image and just kind of keep them guessing. But because then I'll flip the script on them and, you know, and just rattle on in conversation with, you know, some, with friends and acquaintances that I hadn't seen literally in 15 years about how people get turned away from helping the homeless now, you know, that they all want to go down to the food kitchens, the soup kitchens, and have their Instagram influencer moment where they can verify to their constituents that they do have, that they care, that this is who I am. I help these people, but they end up they get turned away because everybody else is trying to do the same thing. And so it is interesting to feel this kind of weird sense of I don't know. I think I'm pretty obnoxious. I will say that, and I really curated an obnoxiousness, particularly around the holidays, because I like to. I like to test the limits sometimes to see what people are made of. Unfortunately, that would be my lady. And so she really, again, I have to believe that there is, you can't have darkness without light. You can't have light without darkness. You can't have the yin without the yang. You can't have the up without the down. So I think that, in my world, I see it as a complementary situation. Her and I complement one another. She is the apprehensive, non-committal one to vulnerable situations like that. And I'm the guy that just dives right in. And then she's like tethered to me. So she gets drug into it too. And so it tempers my flow. You know, it really keeps me reeled in but it also pulls her along as well. That probably makes more sense. So it tempers my over enthusiastic efforts, but it brings her out of her comfort zone as well, so that we both kind of play off one another. And that's what I think the holidays should be about, because you can't avoid it. I don't care whose family you're with. They're all fucking basket cases, right? There's nobody that just kind of walks in like a Norman Rockwell painting, you know, and goes, oh, this has been great. And everything's been so well planned, and there's been no friction or questioning of any problems or any discomfort or any confusion whatsoever. No, the holidays, they need confusion. They need dystopia. They need that racist uncle and that fucking, you know, that obnoxious cousin that just, you know, you're just like, wow, God, they brought so-and-so. Or the one that, you know, that's always got to bring their fucking dog or some shit, you know? You know, it's like, God damn, like, fuck. But I don't know. Most people wouldn't agree with this theory. Most particularly my lady, and my mom probably too. I think my mom still harbors the whole Norman Rockwell picture, you know, where there's this harmonious family and then some old patriarchal type that's lowering a perfectly cooked turkey onto a dinner table full of like a dozen people that all have that same grin. But there's chaos. Chaos is kind of what fuels everything, you know, because I'm listening to that Elon Musk bio, and he is chaos. He was ousted from every board he ever was on, seemingly, And but through the chaos is when greatness emerges, right? Like I was saying about what Walter Isaacson, the biographer, said about Steve Wozniak. He said, "Yeah, I could have run Apple, but we wouldn't have the Macintosh." Because basically, what inevitably happens is, like, so these guys, they push. Musk is pushing. He's pushing his engineers and his staff and his the factory, and he's sleeping in the factory, and he's creating these schedules, and he's pushing these deadlines, and he's creating an impossible deadline that once that deadline is established, then he cuts that in half, and it all it does is create just manic chaos. But they either go down in flames or they create innovation. But there's no middle road, right? It's all or nothing. And so they get the fruit that they bear from these situations is innovation. It's creating a rocket that lands itself. It creates, you know, the most innovative, it's a reigniting of the electric car industry after the EV1, General Motors EV1 got, you know, forcibly halted, and they crushed all those under the influence of the fossil fuel industry. You know, without chaos, without these irascible characters like Steve Jobs or Elon Musk, you're not going to have the reemergence of the electric vehicle. And don't give me this shit about, oh, EVs were a bad idea. Oh, we've totally blown it. The grid will never support. They'll figure it out, you know, because what was before that? Combustion engines. Okay, but what was before that? Horses, right? So everybody on horse and horse-drawn carriage when the first combustion engines came through said the same thing. Oh, this is a monstrosity. These people are out of their minds. We can't have a horseless carriage. We need horses. What are you, a Satanist? What are you, an asshole? What do you worship the devil? What are you, some kind of, it'll never work, you know? And now as you're driving along the country roads and you're out there and you see a horse and somebody riding a horse, you're like, oh, that's quaint, you know? And it's the same thing with electric vehicles, but it's through the chaos that we've reinvigorated the electric vehicle market. Now, they'll never completely take over because, you know, you'll be in 10 years from now when you know, 90% of people are in the electric vehicles, they'll see a combustion engine, they'll see some old Dodge Challenger dragging its muffler down the highway and go, oh, that's quaint. That's nice. Isn't that? Oh, what a throwback. That's great. So there you go. So there you have it. But but it is a fascinating biography. I was listening to that a lot on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, because Wednesday I go down to Santa Cruz. So Thursday I went down to my ex-in-laws in the Bay Area, Walnut Creek area, Pleasant Hill. And Friday I had to go up into the foothills delivering blood to the hospitals, then came back to do my regularly scheduled program, and then after that I got the 1600 route, so I had to go down to Manteca and Modesto. I managed to avoid Merced. Luckily they didn't have anything to take down there, but all that drive, I mean, I literally probably drove about 1,000 miles in 3 days easily conservatively. And, but I was listening to that audiobook. Well, it's really, and again, it's not like, it's like the loosest definition of an audiobook. You know, it's this dude reading the book who, like, he took like a meal break and just left the camera rolling. I'm like, what's happening here? Like, what the fuck? Like, but I'll take it. Fuck it. I'll take it. It's just, I don't know. These are just some of the ideas that I believe hold water, right? You can't create innovation and new thought and new traditions and new ideas without chaos. But at the same time, I do subscribe to a lot of my lady's ways of doing things. She is inevitably right about a lot of stuff, but you got to challenge her to kind of see if the situations hold water. Okay, but I resign myself to it. But then Saturdays, I'm having lunch with my mom after we go see my pops, and then I'm kind of, you know, she's not by any means Elon Musk fan. She hates him. I kind of explain what I just told you, kind of the nature of just the dynamics of the way he moves. He is that Hunter S. Thompson quote about making a beast of yourself so that you can forget the pain of being a man, right? So, because he has his detractors, as a lot of those guys do. I was never a huge fan of Steve Jobs. I think, why are you an asshole? Why are you? You are an asshole. But without being an asshole, we wouldn't have all these, you know, the iPhone or the, you know, the Macintosh or whatever, I guess. I mean, it's progress. It is progress, whether you subscribe to it or not. We can't keep going, you know, we can't just keep computing on an abacus, for God's sakes. We're not cavemen, right? But my mom is, she just listens to my ramblings in that regard. But I just simply explained to her, it is interesting how that all takes shape, because it's not, things just, you know, all these people have these odd quirks, you know, these, like Walter Isaacson, he's written biographies of Leonardo da Vinci and Albert Einstein and all these odd kind of characters that are iconoclastic, but at the same time, they were just, you know, not great people. You know, they're womanizers and eccentric, and you know, Leonardo da Vinci, I guess he was gay and left-handed. I mean, at the time, you know, at the time when he, you know, was at the height of his powers, like that was a bad thing to be, is gay and left-handed. Like that was like, that's a sign of the beast. You know, he was eccentric, he was a procrastinator, he was behind on his deadline all the time, but he was a genius, you know. I mean, he was just so, greatness, great things, art, innovation, science, all come from pain and anguish and chaos, and you know, it's never an exact science. It's strange, but I try. So I changed subjects with my, so I had to, on the drive, I can't dwell too long on that stuff because it makes my mom nuts. So, you know, and then I can make my lady nuts to a degree. And I have a saturation point, I know, with her, but my mom is her saturation point is much less. That's one thing I've noticed over the year, growing up. Like, I can really push. I know how to push each and every person's buttons, and I know what their capacity is for just coming unglued. My mom's is getting less and less. So I changed the subject, and we were talking about, you know, the football games on Thanksgiving, and I thought, because we were, I was telling her about how, like, I thought to myself, the Lions and Packers, like, shouldn't have been. That shouldn't have gone down like it did. And I think the reason is because the influx of, like, legalized gambling and betting and stuff like this. And Bill Burr talks about this periodically on his podcast. But, you know, the fact that the Raiders went to Las Vegas, like, they're in the belly of the beast now. And there's, like, the proliferation of all these DraftKings and these betting, online betting apps. And, like, Whatever the line was on the Lions Packers on Thanksgiving, if I had to guess, I would say they were given the Packers 8, because you got Jordan Love, rookie quarterback, against an 8-2 Detroit Lions team at home. And the Lions didn't even win the game. And they were down, like, at one point, like, 29-13 or something like that. It was like, yeah, like 29, some strange. I mean, they were out of it. They were out of it. So anybody that would have taken the Lions would have been not only down 29-13, but add another 8 points to that. Vegas was just cleaning up, you know. Guys were just losing their shirts. So what's really going, like, it just takes away from, and all of a sudden, Tom Brady chimes in talking about the mediocrity of the NFL. I have to say that he, you know, I brought this up a month or so ago, but, you know, is this the product that you're bringing out? It's mediocre in one form. And then it's, in my opinion, it's got to be compromised. It's got to be compromised. Like, I think these games are rigged. I think the NFL has to be rigged. There's just, yeah. But that's all I'm gonna chime in about. I was kind of laying out my theory to on that. I mean, leave it to me to just kind of just make my mom nuts over something as innocuous as insider bets with Las Vegas and the NFL. But other than that, did you guys have a good Thanksgiving? I hope you guys had a great holiday. I don't know. I think the Bengals are done. The Bills are unpredictable. They're playing the Eagles. When do they play? Are they playing? They played yesterday, but right now is yesterday as I'm recording, and they haven't played yet. So I don't know. They're 6-5. I think the Eagles are going to beat, I think they're going to curb stomp the Bills. Jalen Hurts has won like 13 games in a row by the best teams out there. Like, the Eagles are kind of, they're like under the radar a little. And I'm kind of tired of the Chiefs. I think that their luck's going to run out. But other than that, I don't know. You know, if you can get to Brock Purdy, of the Niners, if you can get to him, then that is the undoing of the Niners. But that's a great team. So it could be like Eagles, Niners, NFC Championship. I was thinking Detroit for a minute, but after they lost the Packers at home, I'm like, whoa. I guess Vegas decided to have them take a loss that day so they could pay some utility bills or something. I don't fucking know. But anyway, it was quite a busy 3-day stretch. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then Saturday was my only my calmest of the days. And I was able to kind of regroup. And I think my lady's kind of under the weather. I think it's just all been too much for her. I think she's finally, her system just kind of caved in on her. I was fighting something myself too last week. It was like I had a weird little bit of the sniffles, but my body just rejected it entirely and said, "Get the fuck out of my house." And that was that. And I moved on. I moved on with my life. But so next on the agenda, I was talking to the boy during Thanksgiving about doing some camping, and we'll probably head out for like Mount Diablo or something. We were kicking around the notion of either Angel Island or Mount Diablo. I think Mount Diablo sounds like that's the one. My lady and I really enjoyed just kind of, we were sitting in my ex-in-laws looking out on their back porch. It had this really a kind of stunning view of Mount Diablo from their back patio as we just sat there and just kind of took a little breather from the ensuing chaos of the holidays. And just gathered ourselves for, you know, a little momentary kind of breath of fresh air. And that's where we're at right now. Here we are. It's 32 degrees in Bozeman, Montana right now. But I'm sitting here and I'm looking out in the sun. It's calm. There's no wind. It's like 60 degrees. So you guys want to keep leaving California, just enjoy. Enjoy 30-degree weather out there in Bozeman, Montana. And I'll leave it at that. And, and it's time for Christmas music. That's right. I'll talk at you later. Arrivederci, baby. Boom, 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 boom